Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many people here, please put up your hands. Life is just perfect. Life is just rosy. Yeah, you just got married. Well, even then, I can bet you, it's not all perfect. Everything is just, everything, every area of your life is just extremely 110%. Put up your hand. There is nothing you're believing God for. There's nothing you're, you know, you're just like, it's good. Amen? Okay. But you know, sometimes in life, in fact, mostly all of life, yeah, there's always one thing that we're believing God for. There's always something that's not quite 100%, you know. But how do we make sure we keep our joy? Like, joy all of the time. How do we maintain our joy? No matter what happens. You know, some people enjoy life. Some people just endure life. Because they're always looking to change something. It's either I want to move locations, I want to move house, I want to get married, I want to get divorced, I want to have children, I don't want my kids, I need them to go. I mean, I want a great job. Oh gosh, I'm tired of my job. I want a business. Oh my gosh, my business is not doing well enough. There is always one thing, at least one thing, if not two, three, four things. There's always something. But how do we keep our joy? There are two kinds of joy. So poke your neighbor and say, there are two kinds of joy. One joy that you have because of. Yeah? So, oh my God, I just got a great job. Ha! Joy. Yes? Oh my God, I just got my promotion. Oh my God, I just got married. Hallelujah. Oh my God, I'm getting married soon. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I had to do that to God. We've been waiting for decades. 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 We've been waiting. But you know, so, exactly, even PT is saying finally. But even when we do get what we've been believing God for, there will be challenges. That's not a negative confession. But how do we keep our joy? You know that song, I've got a joy. Where? I got a joy. Oh, down in my heart. To stay, not today. It can't be just for today. It's to stay on a permanent basis. So slap your neighbor and say, that joy must stay on a permanent basis. It must stay. But listen, the Bible, that song says, I've got the joy. It's down in my heart. So how the way pull it out all of the time. Because life hits us. Life happens to all of us. The best of us, life just happens. So if we're not careful, life will happen. That joy that is down in our hearts will sink so deep, everything will be on top of it. Someone please come help me. Put my bag on top of my head. Put that bag on, put the chair on top of my head. No, everything is on top of you, and the joy just gets buried deeper and deeper. You can't find it. And you know you can smile, and the smile is just here. It's not down there. You can laugh, and it's not down there. How do we dig it out all of the time? That we're not faking it. Yeah. You know, they say fake it till you make it. But joy, you have to have it all the time. You can't be faking it. Faking it doesn't work for joy. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You got no joy, you got no strength. Amen. And there's someone in the Bible that just tells us about how to live. And it's Paul. You know, Paul in Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say to you, rejoice. And someone like that, I would say, yeah, right. You can say that because, but Paul had it bad. He really had it bad. He was in prison for 2 years. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was chained. He had it bad. His plan was to go and have a crusade, but he was locked up in prison. And he wrote 3/4 of the Bible in the prison. And even in prison, he was saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Qu'est-ce que c'est? What kind of joy is that? That no matter what, no matter what. So that joy is the second type of joy. It's the joy that is in spite of. Kick your neighbor and say, you must have joy in spite of. Kick them. No, you know when we feel our pain. Let me tell you something, eh? There's something about pleasure and pain. Let's not go and research it. Pleasure and pain, because pleasure is sweet, it's easy to forget. Pain, we don't forget easily. So when you kick your neighbor and say, you have to have joy in spite of, when they go home, they will go, oh my gosh, I'm still in pain. I got to remember what she said. So kick your neighbor and tell them joy in spite of. These guys are doing romance with their kicking. No, so we have to have joy in spite of. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what the challenges of life brings, we've got to have joy in spite of. Say right now, I have joy. In spite of. Say, no matter what happens, I have joy. Amen. So how did Paul do it? 4 things. You know, P for Paul, right? So Paul's secrets were in his P's. Hallelujah, that's a good joke. Laugh, people, laugh. Laugh. Well done. Thank you, Anto. That's the kind of laugh that, it doesn't go deep. But that was fine for my joke. It was so good. Listen, Paul had 4 P's that helped him through all of those circumstances. The first P is perspective. Perspective. And that is so important for every one of us. Perspective on life, on our situation, no matter what happens. Please, someone, and please. Perspective. No matter what our situation or circumstance are, we must have perspective. So I'm going to go to the scriptures now. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He says here, this is after he had been imprisoned. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that he has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So he was in prison and he's saying, look, out of this, my imprisonment, look, he actually advanced the gospel. I'm in prison, but this is what he has done. You know, so number one, he advanced the gospel. And number two, he has become evident to all. That means they saw his attitude and thought, this person really and truly, he's chained for Christ. So evidence, our lives, our attitude are evidences. Amen? So that's the second one. And then thirdly, he said, and most of the brethren in the Lord have become even more confident by my chains. Huh? And they speak more boldly without fear. How is that possible? What got Paul into prison was because he was speaking boldly. Really and truly, the brethren should now be cowering in fear. and not want to speak. But he's saying that they are even more confident to speak boldly. So the gospel was being advanced. Amen. So what he had was God's perspective on the situation. We always have to have God's perspective on our situations. No matter what it is, God is always doing something. Always, always, always doing something. Behind the scenes, he is doing something. So lift up your hands and say right now, God is doing something in my life. God is on top of my situation. God is in perfect control. Amen. And you know, Paul also, because of the perspective he had, he knew that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. He knew that all of this will work together for good. And of course, he was seeing how it was working together for good. So he wasn't in prison and sulking and saying, Lord, get me out of here, get me out of here. I'm locked out, won't let me in. I'm locked in, won't let me out. No, I'm locked in, won't let me out. But hey, I'm going to be doing what you've called and purposed me to do. If I can't get out there, I'm going to write letters, and my letters are going to go out there. There is always a reason, and we always have a choice. That is the one thing God gave us human beings. Choice, the power of choice. We can choose our attitude. We can choose what we do. We have a choice. Slap your neighbor and say, you have a choice. You have a choice. Hallelujah. We all have choices. We can make a choice. So he chose perspective. Please help me the slide, the first one. Right? So what are you seeing in your situation? Just have a look now. So look at that picture. What can you see? Okay. How many people say two faces? Okay, put down your hand. How many people see a lamp? Hallelujah. It all depends on from which angle you're looking at it. So everyone, can you see two faces and a lamp now?
Yes.
If you look closely, you can always see. The next one, please. What can you see here? How many people say good? How many people say evil? You can see evil is written in white in the good. Okay? So we can choose what we see. We can choose to see good. We can choose to see evil. We can choose to see God. God will work it out. That last one, please. What do you see here? What do you see? How many people see a horse? How many people see a frog? There's a horse there. You have to look before you see the horse. If you kind of turn this way, you'll see the horse. Yeah. Perspective is important. Okay? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10. How many people see the horse now?
Yeah.
Right, hallelujah. It took a while for Mal to get it. She's a genius. That's what it is. Girl, go, girl. So Ephesians 2:10, you can take off the horse, the frog, please. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Pinch your neighbor and ask them, where are you seated? Where? Am I pinching? I'm not really pinching. So that's about perspective, okay? Sorry? Oh, no, 2:6, sorry, Ephesians 2:6. We are seated, no, Ephesians 2:6, sorry. Yeah, so we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Listen, we're not just seated in heavenly places, we are seated with Christ Jesus. So our perspective has to be different. Okay, everybody stand up, please. Change seats, kind of, quickly. Move around, change seats. Okay, seat, please. Take a seat. Listen, right here and now, put up your hand if I said, the moment you said, get up, change seats, you didn't think, oh, how many people honestly said, where must I change my seat? In your heart, you didn't say, but yeah. Be honest. Okay. Get up, please change this. Go to the back. No, sit down, sit down, sit down. But you know, sometimes, when you've been sitting in a place and they tell you to get up and move seat, you're like, ah, please, I'm comfortable. I'm comfort on the table. I'm bringing out the best jokes for you guys. Laugh. Well done. You know, sometimes we're so comfortable where we're at, we can't shift. And perspective is about changing positions, changing how we see things. And sometimes it takes us getting up. He says, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. In fact, the fact that you're seated with Christ Jesus in itself is enough. Amen. You're seated with Christ. You're with Christ. What can harm you? Everything has to work out for my good. Amen. Say it. Say, I am with Christ. So everything will work out for my good. But also, I am seated in heavenly places. So I'm up here. And so when you're high up and you're looking at something that's small and you're looking from up here, how does it look? Tiny. So because of perspective, sometimes what we do is God has put us high up there, but we're here. Seated with Christ, but we're here. We're not seated in heaven places. This is the issue. We're seated next to it. Seated next to it. And the thing looks bigger than us. This is the issue. He looks so much bigger than us. But when we change sheets and put ourselves where Christ has put us, we're seated in heavenly places, high up with Christ Jesus. We're looking from high up. We're looking down at the thing, and the thing looks giant. Hallelujah. So slap your neighbor now and say, change your perspective. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So the next one is priorities. Mao, please come. So we live, in life, our perspectives must be that of God. See things how God wants us to see them. The next thing is we live our life by priorities. So we don't focus on problems. We prioritize what's important. We really do. And I'll read what Paul said here. Right, I need the NIV version now, please. So we're going to verse 15, please. Same Philippians 1. Can't see my glasses. Yes, it says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. Go on, please. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. I'm in chains and they want to stir up trouble, okay? That's why they're preaching this gospel. Go on, please. But what does it matter? Please, I want you to give your neighbor some Holy Ghost slap and say, what does it matter? Tell them, what does it matter? But what does it matter? But what does it matter? People are talking about me behind my back. People are messing about me. People are. Tell them, but what does it? What does it matter? What does it matter? But what does it matter? Listen, priorities. Come on now, please. Just come and do this for me on your seat. Say, priorities. He says, the important thing. What is the important thing in your life? What? Because sometimes we get distracted by trivial, little, stupid things. He says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, oh, I beg you in the name of Jesus, can you please tell your neighbor, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Tell your neighbor, I am getting my priorities right. I am setting my priorities straight. What is important is important. What is not important is not important. And let me tell you something. Well, listen. Oh. The enemy picks up the trivial. Oh. Because he will waste our time. He will waste our energy, waste our effort on what is trivial. What doesn't matter? Look, they were stirring up trouble for him. The man was in prison. I mean, talk about kicking a man while he's down. And then, you behave yourself. Oh. Hallelujah. So, it doesn't matter. Say, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The important thing is that Christ is preached. And he says, please read that verse. We're going to say it together. And because of this, I
rejoice.
This is how you're rejoicing. Look, what I want you to do now, look at whatever it is that's been troubling you. Have a look at it right now. Because you know that it is not important. You know it is not a priority. So look at it right now. I say, because of this, because I know that the Lord will cause it to work out for my good. Because what the enemy planned for evil will turn around for my good. And so, right now, you know that joy that's down in your heart? Bring it out. And because of this, I rejoice. You guys have to do what I do today. Okay? Come on. Practice, look, people, you have to loosen up. Slap your neighbor and tell them, loosen up. I'm telling you what the enemy wants you to focus on. That is a distraction. That is nothing that you should be focused on. I now choose to prioritize. And so, I know that the Lord will cause it to work out for my good. And so, I want you to say it. And
because.
Hallelujah. I rejoice. I know it will work out for my good. Come on, people. I know. I rejoice. I prioritize what's important. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. The next one, it says here. I'm continuing now. Verse 19 says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit." So Paul was tapping into the power of God. That he could get through prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. How many people are full of the Spirit of Jesus? Because we have the power of the Holy Ghost. And because we pray and we have people praying for us, no problem can devastate us. I want you to jump on your feet and say, nothing can devastate me. Come on now, people. I beg you. Declare it. Look, if you don't have a problem right now, it's fine. But save it for the day when you have it. Because it's not a negative form.
Absolutely.
It may happen. Just say, nothing will devastate me. Because the Spirit of Jesus is on the inside of me. Amen.
Amen.
Say, I got the power. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what enables us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please sit. So power is the third one. The third P. And see, abs, come. And you know also, the Bible says in Nehemiah 2:8, the joy of the Lord is what?
Our strength.
No strength, no.
Power.
No strength, no.
Power.
No joy, no.
Power.
No joy, no. Say, I got that.
Power.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And the last one. Think about this. Hallelujah. I think I'm excited for me. Purpose. I want to read verse 21 now. Okay. So this is Paul still in prison. And he says, "For to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. For to me to live is and to die is gain. Okay, but if I live and on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Oh, so you know what? Paul is old, he's tired, his dreams almost had been crushed. But one thing keeps him going. That's his purpose for being, his purpose for living. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Actually, it's because, you know what? The worst thing that the enemy thinks he can do to us is to kill us before our time. That's all. Death, hunger, the anything is death. And he says, actually, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But, you know, so, but my purpose is to preach Christ. And I'm in prison, I'm preaching Christ. So his purpose drives him, right? That is the thing that can drive us. What is your purpose on earth? Because Ephesians 2:10 says, we have been created. We are his workmanship, created for good works that he has prepared for us in advance. So I want you to lift up your hand right now and say, I have good works to do. Konaba, I have good works to do. I have a purpose to fulfill on planet Earth. I am not going before my chance. And so let nothing distract you. Focus on your purpose. Okay? So he says that. That is what keeps me. But then also verse 24, he says, it is more needful for me to stay. Yeah? To die is gain, but it is more needful. I want you to ask your neighbor, say to your neighbor, what are you doing for other people? What are you doing for someone other than yourself? Tell them their family doesn't count. You are under obligation to take care of your family, to take care of your father, your mother, your children. That doesn't count. Tell them. You are under obligation. He says, it is more needful for you. So I'm putting you first. What is your purpose? My purpose in life is to gather possessions. Get whatever I can, whichever way I can, however I can. Like Pastor Spamy says, I sit on the can. Is that what my purpose is? Knowing our purpose, fulfilling our purpose, will give us joy. Because otherwise, we are moved by circumstances. Every wind of doctrine, anything and everything that happens, and the enemy will throw stuff at us constantly. If he knows he can steal your joy, he knows he can get everything else. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. So please rise to your feet. So the last P is the P. Hallelujah. So Paul's 4 P's. Just remember, perspective, priorities, power, and purpose. So live on purpose. Know that God has called. We are not here by accident. We have something to do. We have a mission to fulfill. Lift up both hands right now and say, Lord, everything that you've called me to do, I will do it. In the name of Jesus, I will not allow the devil to steal my joy, because I know that is a strategy. Father, thank you that you have equipped me with everything that I need to fulfill my mission. Lord, thank you that whatever it is I am going through, you have a plan and a purpose for my life. And your purpose shall be established in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that your ways are not my ways. They're so much higher. Lord, I surrender to your ways. I surrender to your will. I choose to live in unspeakable joy. Joy inexpressible and full of glory floods my heart. Touch your stomach right now. Just say, I command that joy that joy inexpressible and full of glory to come forth no matter what the enemy throws at me. I declare joy. I declare joy. I declare joy. Joy inexpressible. And Lord, put your hand on your head right now and say, I speak peace. The peace of God that no man can give. I speak peace. The peace that surpasses human understanding will permanently guard my heart and my mind in the name of Jesus.